Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Back to the book of Ecclesiastes, back to chapter 12. Back to the first section, which we have just about completed, and we'll get into the second section, Lord willing, today. But in the first section of Ecclesiastes 12, we find that Solomon tells us to seek God while you are young. Now, for some of you, that's already too late. But seek God while you can, whatever age you are. Don't keep procrastinating if you haven't already sought Him. But seek God while you are young. That's very important. Remember your Creator, he says, in the days of your youth. And then you recall, from there he goes on and just describes the realities of aging in picturesque language that is very memorable, very, very difficult to forget, very difficult to shake the effect of that off of your mind once you have gone through this section. And it is a march, this aging process where the arms fail and the legs fail and the teeth fail and the eyes fail and the ears fail and on and on and on it goes throughout this section. And what that describes is the inevitable march of life toward eventual death, eventual and inevitable death. The aging process is just simply the dying process. That's what we're doing. In reality, we start to die the day we are born. Believe it or not. But it isn't so obvious in young people. They're young and vigorous and full of energy and growing and seemingly getting stronger day by day, and all of those things are true in one respect, and yet there are parts even of a child's body that are already beginning to wear out, that the clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Somebody has calculated that the number of times that a person's heart beats is... And it's not the same for every person, of course, but it's within a particular range. And every time your heart beats, that's one less beat that you're going to have later on. It's subtracting from that final number, that final count. And so even a young child is already in the dying process because they are using up those heartbeats. They're subtracting from the total number of heartbeats of their life. And so death comes inevitably to everyone. Earthly life is not forever. And the evidences of decay, of aging, are simply reminders that eventually that silver cord is going to break. Death is going to result. And that's what we read in verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. That seems to be a picturesque reference to a cord that holds the soul to the body. It's like a silver cord, and it breaks, and that's it. The soul no longer is attached to the body. Or the golden bowl is broken. There's been a lot of speculation as to precisely and particularly what Solomon has in mind by golden bowl and the pitcher shattered at the fountain and the wheel broken at the well. And I've read a number of different possibilities, and I don't know that any of them have been so compelling that I thought, yep, that's it. That commentator hit it right on the nose. He got it exactly right. I didn't read anything that made me think that. It's all rather speculative. I don't think we'll know until we get to heaven, if then, what exactly Solomon meant by these particular pictures. But we do know that he's talking about the aging process ending in death. The silver cord is loosed. The golden bowl is broken. The pitcher shattered at the fountain. The wheel broken at the well. Then, we read in verse 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, as I glance down, I don't remember if I welcomed you to this Friday, March 5 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and thanked you for listening and for helping us with the financial costs or not, but if I did, forgive me for doing it twice, and if I didn't, then please take these thoughts into account. Before we return now to verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now here's one of these clear statements in chapter 12 that makes it obvious that some of the previous statements earlier in the book that people have taken to mean Solomon didn't believe in life after death. Solomon just taught that the body goes into the grave and that's the end. And there are some statements that taken by themselves might be misconstrued that way, but take it all into account. Listen to everything he says. Read to the end of the book. Get to the final chapter, the one we're in now. And it's clear what Solomon believed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. That, of course, takes us back to the book of Genesis, where from dust you came. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground, and to dust you shall return. The body that God created for Adam died. Adam lived a long time, but death is inevitable, and the time came when his body died and returned to the dust. And there are some funeral liturgies that include that in every funeral service, every graveside service, dust to dust and so forth. We've all heard it. Well, that's what Solomon is saying. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, but he goes on to say, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. He makes a distinction between the body, the physical part that returns to dust, and the spirit, the spiritual part of man, that returns to God who gave it. He doesn't teach that the grave is the end. He doesn't teach that man is only physical. He doesn't teach that when you go to the grave, to death, that's the end, and there's no life beyond the grave. He emphatically teaches the exact opposite. What did Solomon believe? He believed that the spirit will return to the God who gave it. That's clear. That's understandable. That's not puzzling. And that corresponds to what is taught in the remainder of the Bible. And that then tells us that when Solomon made statements earlier in the book about going to the grave as if that were the end, that were the finality, he's only talking about the physical part of man. The first part of verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. It will. And that decays. Now we do know from New Testament truth in particular, that even this body of dust that decays and goes back to the earth is going to be raised someday. That's not even the end of it, but it certainly seems to be But when Solomon talked that way, he was only talking about the physical body, and it's clear that when the physical body dies, that's the end of what we can do upon the earth. We have so many days to live upon the earth and to accomplish upon the earth what we're going to accomplish in our lifetime. And when that final day comes and we die, that's it. No more. No more accomplishments upon earth. Nothing more to be done for time or for eternity. It's over. That's what Solomon said earlier in the book, and that's what he says here again in chapter 12. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, but that's not it. That's just over as far as life on earth is concerned, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's the most important part. Some people wish that death were the end because they are unwilling to trust God, unwilling to acknowledge their sinful condition, unwilling to look to God for cleansing and salvation and pardon. They are stubbornly rebellious. They are determined to live their own way, to pay no attention to God, and they desperately wish, and many people have convinced themselves that this is what they believe to be true, that when they die, boom, that's the end. Nothing beyond. Sorry. And the spirit will return to God who gave it and to give an account to the God who gave it. And therefore, there is life beyond the grave, and it is life beyond the grave that is the most important part. You better get that part right. You're not really prepared to live until you're prepared to die. You're not really prepared to live upon the earth until you are rightly related to your Creator and ready to go out into eternity. And then Solomon wraps up this section of verse 8 by saying, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Three vanities. And these are the final ones in the book. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We haven't discussed that word for a while. We did way back in the early study in the early chapters of the book. But as you may remember, there are different ways to interpret, to translate, to understand that word that is translated vanity, that is found in my Bible as the word vanity. But one accurate translation is temporary. And that really seems to fit here. Temporary, temporary, all is temporary. That concludes verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. Temporary, temporary, all is temporary. That is, as far as the physical is concerned, as far as life on this earth is concerned, it's all temporary. It's all transitory. That's another word. Transitory, transitory, all is transitory. So you better be preparing for what's beyond the grave, but back to the main theme of this first section, you should seek God and trust Him and serve Him while you're young, so that the abilities and habits you develop when you're young will carry you through life. Don't give God your wilted flowers. Give Him your best. And fitting into the theme of this book, that's the only path to happiness and fulfillment in life. If you don't do that, you're going to spend your whole life spinning your wheels, failing to find fulfillment and happiness and satisfaction, and then you're going to die and go out into eternity. So, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.